chapter 40, the Psalms chapter 40. I was thinking about that song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, when I was preparing this message. The title of my message is Faithfulness. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. It's his faithfulness that allows us. And it's not of ourselves. It's weak and it's fragile. It constantly requires reinforcement. We constantly need to hear this message in order to allow us to persevere so we can hear the Word of God. And if the Lord will be willing to let us understand by His grace and through His will, the Spirit of the Lord will enter into us, we get that reassurance that He is faithful. He is faithful to do that which He has promised to do. And it's a free gift of grace that we have that faith. Now, many people think, they say, well, I'm very faithful. I go to church and I read the Bible this many times a week and I get up and I pray every morning, I pray every evening. It's not about our faithfulness. Every day you go out in our lives and we try to do something that we feel is good. An honorable unto Christ. And we come so far short all the time. And it's such a reassuring thing to know that it was His faithfulness. It's His faithfulness that allows us to enter into His kingdom. Because if it was left to ourselves, we'd have no possibility. It's impossible for a sinner to have anything that the Lord will look upon. Now, faith is not in and of ourselves as well. It's our faith. It's given to us. But it connects us to Him in which our salvation is. Now, heard it called that faith was the bridge. Now, we're over here. A sinner is over here. And the Lord's over here. And the only way that we can get over here is that the Lord grants us faith. That we might believe Him and it's counted to us as righteousness, as a perfect righteousness. We connect to Him who has the perfect righteousness. It's not many people that are in religion today want to say that the Lord's trying to do something for you. But you've got to do something for Him in order for Him to do something for you. It's not that way. It's not that way. Many people are taken down the road of free will religion. They think that the Lord's done all He can and we have to do something else in order to make us acceptable. The Lord's been faithful to do everything that has been necessary. He knows that we cannot obtain mercy and grace from the Lord except through Him. He knew that we would sin when the first law, do not eat of the garden, do not eat of that tree in the midst of the garden. He knew that we would sin. He knew left to ourselves that we were a sinful being. We didn't have any sin until Adam sinned in our stead and room. And from that day forward, we were doomed unto death by that. By that one work of iniquity, we were cast into damnation without a substitute. Before then, before that time, we didn't need His faithfulness. We didn't need His salvation because then it was like, well, this is your chance to be faithful. This is your chance to be faithful to the one law. And we couldn't do it. He knew we couldn't do it and was faithful enough to be willing to honor His Father and come to save us. He's great in mercy, great in power. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and He was unwavering. He was so unwavering. How many times have we, each and every one of us, just blasphemed, loved ourselves and this world more than Him, loved anything more than Him? How many times have we committed adultery in our hearts? All those Ten Commandments, how many times have we murdered in our hearts? How many times have we committed all those sins against a just and holy God, and yet still, He didn't count that against us? He was faithful. He said, what I have done is complete. It is finished. When He yelled, it is finished, that means all the work of a doomed, damned sinner, all of the elect's price was paid. It's finished. We don't have anything else to do other than to believe on Him, and we can't do that in and of ourselves. It has to be given to us by His grace and by His mercy. He is so loving kind. He is so long-suffering. Through all that we do by nature to sin against Him, He doesn't change. And boy, is that a blessing that He doesn't change. Now, if you or I were in a situation where we had somebody that we fellowship with that persecuted us all the days of our lives, had ill feeling and ill will toward us all the time, would we forgive him? We should. We should be forgiving. But would you? Would you not have a hard heart toward that person? If every time you met that person and fellowshiped with them, that they were always, always sinning against you, I couldn't. Neither any of you out there as well could. We do this against the Lord daily. And yet He does not cast us out. He promised His Father He'd come to redeem a people. That's what He did. And He's not going to change. And I'm thankful for that. Very thankful for that. And our faith connects us to that person in whom the Lord was, our Almighty, was pleased. His Son. Let's turn to Romans 4. Starting in verse 19, it's talking about Abraham here. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And now, we all know this is when the Lord promised Abraham and Sarah a son, even as they were waxed old in years, and it was impossible, earthly-wise, for them to have a child, but the Lord promised them one, and saying that He was faithful, and His faith allowed him to believe that the Lord would do exactly what He promised. In verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You notice he was persuaded. Persuaded means you need to be convinced of that. The Lord convinced him. He doubted. Very many times, I guarantee you, he doubted that. Now, you know, he even admitted he went in with Hagar and had, you know, I'm going to have another son. This is how the Lord, Sarah, convinced him to go to do that. Maybe take my bondservant. So he had doubts. But the Lord never left him alone. He was long-suffering. And he said, that's not the seed that I promised. That's not the seed that I promised. You will have one through Sarah. So he had to be persuaded. The Lord persuades a man or a woman to believe something. It's not of ourselves. We don't choose to believe anything. It's persuaded. We are persuaded by His Word, by the power of God. We are persuaded. In verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He had to have it charged to his account that that was righteousness. He had no righteousness of his own. It was God's righteousness being imputed to him. 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's faith. Believing that God raised his Son from the dead to be a propitiation for his elect. That's faith. If you believe in that, it will be counted unto you as faith. And that connects you to Christ, who is our righteousness. 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And in chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Boy, that's a great gift. That's a great gift. Left to ourselves, we'll be going down the same road as a lot of people on this earth are going, thinking that we have something of our own to offer a just and holy God. It's only by His grace that we're here. It's only by His grace that we have any hope whatsoever, because all hope of salvation is in the substitute, is in Him, and all things are to glorify and honor Him and not us. It's amazing. It's an amazing gift. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Most men and women of this world will talk about their faithfulness. These two scriptures here, two verses of scriptures, clearly state it's through grace. It's through faith, and it's given to us by grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if we boast, we take the honor and glory away from where it's due. God Almighty, Christ. That's where the honor and glory is supposed to be. Not in any human vessel. Not in a temple. Not in a sacrifice of our own hands, of our own works. That's the whole story of Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel because his brother offered a more excellent sacrifice. He hated what God said was true. He hated that his brother, who was taught by the same person, by his father, one knew that he could not be saved in and of himself. He needed a perfect sacrifice. He needed a holy sacrifice. He knew that his sin needed to be paid. He knew his sin had to be covered. The other one didn't. He thought the works of his hands, he could give a polluted sacrifice unto a just and holy Savior. Free will religion is very popular for one reason. It gives the man and woman the power. It takes power away. Christ didn't feel that it was robbery to be likened unto God, because He was God. But when we want to take the power away from God Almighty, who has only Him and His Son, that's taken away from His glory. We're trying to take that power away. And that's why free will religion is very popular, because they feel that they have something to offer. And it's contrary to that fact. We don't have anything to offer. Only thing we have to do is bow to His mercy and His grace. It's got nothing to do with us. It's got to do all with Him. Turn to Psalm 119. Starting in verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. When we have afflictions, if a believer, when elect, when the elect have afflictions, like there's a verse that you take comfort in. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. In faithfulness, in God's, in the Lord's faithfulness, he afflicts us. He tries us. He casts afflictions upon us, that we may grow in grace and faith, that we may turn to him, because we continually, constantly, that's what I was talking about, when we need constantly requiring reinforcement. We constantly have to be turned back to where our hope is, because we always want to look in ourselves. That heart, that evil human heart is always in there. We've been granted a new heart once the Lord reveals his message in our heart, but that evil heart is still in there, and it constantly wants to turn away. Now the Lord will let you go to and fro, but he will never let you totally go. He'll let you waver. He'll let you have your own way. He'll bring you down into the dust, and finally, when you're in the dust, and that's the only time you will, when you have no more, you've looked at yourself so much, and you say, well, I'll get myself out of this, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. I can do this. When you finally realize the futility of trying to do anything to please God, anything meritable unto God, you finally look to Christ where you need to look. And then he brings you up. He has to come down where you're at and lift you back up. Because we can't go up to where he is. Never. Never. We can't do it. We continually try. No matter how long you sit under the gospel, I don't care if we sit under the gospel for 20, 30 years or even more. You just ask some of these men that have preached the gospel for 40, 50 years, and you ask them if they're faithful every day. Just ask them. They'll say it's harder today than it was when they first started. Because every day you have more sin. Your sins add up. When you're obeyed, you only have a few. And as you keep going, you get more and more and more and more and more, and it's more of a burden. The more you know, the more you have to know, because you need that much more strength to persevere in this life. The more you tried, the more you look to Christ. The more you tried, the more your faith is strengthened. When you have an affliction, that's when you have the greatest faith. When you're dying, when they talk about dying grace, that's when you need grace. When you need grace, you'll get it. When you don't need it, you won't get it. When you're looking to the earth and you're looking to yourself for anything, when it comes to spiritual things, the Lord won't grant you grace. He'll just leave you until you get to the point where you know that it's futile. You can't do anything. And then, when you call upon his name earnestly, not just call upon his name. Many times we call upon his name and not earnest. When we earnestly call upon his name, when we're brought down to the depths of the earth, when we can't see anything good in ourselves and want, say, Lord, have mercy on me, a poor, poor sinner, then he grants you grace. And when you're having those terrible trials and troubles, that's when he grants you grace, because you need it. Because his grace is sufficient. And when you need more, he gives you more. And when you don't think you need it, you need it even more. Because you need to turn back to where you can find grace and mercy. In verse 76, let I pray thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for the law is my delight. The law, you want to know why the law is David's delight? Because he knows he doesn't have to fulfill it. The law proves to us that we cannot fulfill the law. And it shows, points us to Christ who can fulfill the law. That's why David is so happy. He says, I love the law because I know that points me to the one I do love, Christ. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. And you, there's many times I know this for a fact, that dealing with the world as we have to deal with every day, when the Lord grants you more and more grace as you go through trials and troubles and as you go through life, many times as I was a young believer, and I still am a young believer, but when I first understood what the Lord meant in this word, people would ask me questions and I'd feign back. I was ashamed. I knew that they were going to persecute me. I knew they didn't believe what I believed, and I was afraid to say something. As I get older, I get bolder. But I also know when not to say it. And that's the hardest thing to know, is when not to say a word. When it says not to cast your pearls unto swine, well, there's times when you're not to. This is our pearls. This word is our pearls. This is our riches. This is the riches of this earth. This is the most valuable thing on this earth, is this word of God. But there's times when you have to stand up and say what's right and not be ashamed. And the longer you go, and the Lord grants you grace, that you know that when the time comes to say that. And He also teaches you when to be silent. There are times we're not to debate this with people. Don't sit there and debate it. Many people debate it. Many constantly say, well, this is not right, this is not right. Don't debate it. State the facts by the Word of God. Don't put your opinion in. State the facts by the Word and leave the Word to itself. It's enough. If the Lord doesn't enter into that person and let them believe it, don't fight them about it. But don't be ashamed of it either. Last thing is the Lord's mercy. I am so thankful that He's a merciful God. I'm thankful that He has mercy on sinners. He picked the sinners, not the religious, not the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He picked the foolish things of the earth, the sinners, the foolishness of preaching to save a man or a woman. He chose the lesser of the world, what people consider the lesser of the world, to say, well, mercy, grace. It's endless, and He's totally faithful. He's constantly faithful to save a people. I don't understand all about His faithfulness, but I know that's something I can depend on. I can't depend on people on this earth. People will let you down. Even the best of people will let you down time to time. They'll not mean to. They'll forget something or what, but you'll be let down. This will never let you down. Christ will never faint from His promises. He's forever faithful. He was faithful before time began. He was faithful when He left. He was faithful as He was here on this earth. He lived among sinners. Man with no sin had to live that life of humility. You want to talk about humility? Him living in this earth among sinners. Well, that was humility. But He did it willingly to save a people, to honor His Father first and foremost. But the repercussions of it was He saved the people. It's not about our faithfulness. It's about His faithfulness. Let's look at one more verse of Scripture. Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations 3 and verse 1. turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath sent me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. You know what that chain is? That chain's holding your works. That chain's holding the works that you try to do on this earth. You want to try to work your way into heaven? That chain gets heavier and heavier. That's why there's talking about the brethren that have sinned in the gospel 40, 50 years. That's why it's heavier. That sin is heavier and heavier. It waxes old. It weighs on you every single day. It gets heavier and heavier because you sin more and more every day. We don't get any better. The only time we'll get better is when we die. That's when we'll get better. Then we'll know what it's like to have peace if we're in Him. But this life is not meant to be peaceful. Not for a believer. It's not peaceful for the other people either, but they think it's peaceful to them. They think it's peaceful to them because they're not looking to the one who peace is in. Let's see. Verse 8, also when I cry and I shout, He shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my path crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in the secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows in his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace and forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. In verse 19, boy, I give real good hope on. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath been still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And the Lord will humble you. And once He humbles you, then you have the rest of this verse, the rest of this chapter. Then I recall to my mind, therefore, have I hope. Then I remember His faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not all consumed. Because His compassions fail not. He's faithful. See, that's the whole sum and substance. The Lord Almighty came, died, and was faithful to everything He promised. And this is what He's saying. He went through 17 verses talking about all the afflictions He had. God was faithful enough to allow this to happen to Him. Why? To turn Him to Christ. To turn Him to the one who is faithful. And it says in the next verse, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every time you go through a trial, every time, and I know for a fact, been in this situation so many times, will be in this situation so many more times in my life. When I've went through a period of my life when I've just been totally reckless and abandoned to the gospel, and He finally gets me back the next morning after the Lord brings me to that end where I say, Lord, have mercy on me, the next morning I wake up and I have so much joy. Say, oh, Lord, I'm thankful for You. I'm thankful for Your faithfulness. I'm thankful for Your mercy. And you know something, when we go, truly, we think that we're faithful and we think that we're praising and honoring the glory to God when things are good. When you're truly praising and honoring unto God is once you went through a tribulation and the Lord's brought you through it. Then, when you say, oh Lord, it's amazing. It's amazing that we have to be brought from the dust in order to really honor and glorify Him, in order to praise Him like He should be, in order to totally, constantly, we get brought up, and then we're on a path down again, constantly, all through this life. And the only time we really look to Him is when the Lord brings us back up. We're constantly falling down, and the Lord's faithfulness, His faithfulness, always brings His elect back up. Now, just think about this. If the Lord is not your Savior, when you fall down, there's nobody there to pick you up. He just lets you keep going down. You know the worst thing about it? You won't even realize it. You just keep going up path. You think everything will be all right. I am thankful the Lord gives you a conscience to know that what you've done is wrong. I'm glad that He turns you away from those things. I'm glad He turns me away from those things. Because I would just continue to go right down. They think this man in Iraq is a bad man. And he is. But he's the perfect example of God leaving a man to himself. And we, each and every one of us here, would be worse than he was. Just as bad or worse than he was if the Lord didn't have His restraining hand of grace upon us. Each and every one of us. He is faithful. Faithful to not allow us to be there. He's faithful to allow us to live in a country where we're not being ruled by a man like that. He's faithful to keep us in a country where we can worship freely. He's faithful to put us in an area where we're not persecuted and can worship Him freely. It used to be that way over there. These books were written in those places. Where is His Word now? It's not there. The Garden of Eden was where the Tigris and the Euphrates. Somewhere up in that valley. Somewhere up in that area. Someone asked me the other day, said, well, here nothing grows over here. Why? I said, God cursed it. God cursed that ground. He cursed some countries. You can't go some places and you have to worship in private. In secret. We've been blessed to live in a country where we can preach, where we can listen. People can disagree with us, but they're not going to kill us for doing it. His faithfulness is continual, it's complete, it's perfect, it's constant. And that's, by the Lord's grace, I hope we all can remember His faithfulness and not look unto ourselves.